Hey listeners, welcome to the Spoil Sports Podcast, the show that's not afraid to tell you that in System Shock 2, Showdown plans to merge reality and cyberspace using the FTL drive. In each episode, we'll be discussing what we did and didn't like about video games, films, and TV shows. I'm Sean, one of your hosts, alongside Dermot, and today we're joined by Ross Pollock to talk about Star Wars Battlefront. If the name of the show didn't give it away, there will be some spoilers ahead. So, without further ado, here's the show.
This is your spoiler warning.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. We are going to be covering a video game that maybe might be a bit of a challenge because of the lack of story, but we're going to do this. We've got half an hour, we're going to do this. But before we get into this, let me introduce my lovely co-host. Say hello, Demid.
That's my lightsaber, sorry. Let me put that away. There we go.
Did you just pull out a lightsaber from your watch?
Yes.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. And speaking of one cool thing, we're going to introduce another cool thing, which is our lovely guest all the way from the... I forgot when you're from. Tell us who you are and where you're from, Ross.
Oh, come on. It's Ross Pollock from Edinburgh.
Yeah. I should remember Edinburgh.
Oh, come on.
Why didn't you just say Scotland?
I wanted to be really cool and say something like Hoff because, you know, it's... maybe the closest thing that we have in the British Isles.
You should have said from a country far, far away, you know.
Do you know what?
Come on, Sean. Yeah.
I know this is going to be a challenge, but I can't even get the puns right.
You're now tempted to start re-recording.
No. We roll with this. We roll with this like we are starting a heroes match with the lightsaber, and we're going to go and fight all of the air. We're going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront today. So, Star Wars Battlefront. It was timed nicely to come out along with The Force Awakens, which came out in December. But let's open it up firstly to Ross. What was it about the Battlefront that, you know, made you want to go out, part with your good old earned cash, and enjoy yourself for this game?
Well, Sean, I have to say it was absolutely the nostalgia trip. Very similar to what The Force Awakens managed to do with that kind of that reboot and the new movie. Playing Star Wars Battlefront was absolutely regressing to my childhood, flying a toy X-Wing around my bedroom, but this time in a video game like it's never been done before. And the audio presentation, the visuals, just captured Star Wars perfectly. And all of a sudden, when I was playing the game, I was right back in my Star Wars pajamas, 8 years old, on a complete nostalgia trip, and it was fantastic.
So it's safe to say that you are a bit of a Star Wars fan then?
A bit of a Star Wars geek, yeah. I would go that far.
Excellent. And did you happen to play any of the previous Battlefronts up until this current one?
I've got to be honest, I was aware of them, but I was completely captivated with Halo at the time. And I tragically missed out on the original series of Battlefront, but I was aware of them and how well received they were.
Yeah, they were something quite special. I remember only playing, I think, the first one only. And I would say, before we get into the intricacies of the actual game that we're going to talk about today, the difference, major difference is AI, really. So when you're doing, you know, in the current game, when you're doing your fighter squadron, you have AI X-Wings and TIE Fighters. But in the original Battlefronts, there was other, more or less, cannon fodder that was... available. I mean, it was more of a war, but you were part of it as well as other players, and you were joining in, more or less not being the actual combatants of it, which is what you were playing in this current one. So I think it's up to, was it 20 versus 20 on
I
some formats?
I think that's the biggest one.
So literally that's two sides of the army, and if you were to imagine AI within that as well, it was quite crazy. But then there wasn't 20 versus 20 back in the days of the original Xbox, and I think it was on the PlayStation 2. I would hope so. But Dermot, going over to you, what was it about Battlefront that kind of sold it to you, that made you want to, you know, pick up the game?
Well, for me, like, it was that announcement that EA were going to be making new Star Wars games, and then they announced DICE, the guys behind Battlefield, were going to take on Battlefront, and that was the one that kind of had me going, oh yeah, like this is going to be really good. Like even from like we know that they can make Battlefield games really impressive visually, and one of the things that had always kind of put me off older Star Wars games is I had this idea in my head of what a Star Wars game should look like, and they never quite hit the mark. This one was the one that was going to deliver. This is what I had built up in my head prior to release anyway.
Out of interest, which Star Wars games didn't meet the mark for you?
For me, I liked the Unleashed games in terms of as action games, but they didn't really give me what I wanted from a Star Wars game, which was either when I was playing as, like, if I wanted to play as a foot soldier, that I felt like I was part of an army, either the Rebels or the Empire, whichever one. But when I felt, when I was playing as a Jedi, I felt it felt special. I didn't get that from Unleashed. Unleashed tried a bit too hard, I think, to be a bit more over the top, and like you were able to bring down a, by moving some analog sticks, you were able to bring down a big starfighter or star destroyer or whatever. It never felt quite as impactful as it should have for me.
Maybe it was just the focus being heavily on Starkiller.
Maybe it didn't, being him didn't feel special, which is what I wanted from being a Jedi. I am not a huge fan of PC gaming, so I didn't really get into Knights of the Old Republic either, in as much as I know that the story for those series are really good, but I just didn't get into them because they weren't on a format that I could play on.
You know Knights of the Republic was out on the Xbox, because that's what I played it on.
And that's what I didn't have.
Ross, so, Diarmid touched on more like the kind of the focus and the foot soldier being the kind of the important parts of Battlefront. Would you say you enjoy just being the average stormtrooper or rebel? And, you know, there's a lot of experimentability in playing these roles, but it is fitting for the role you're playing. What's your thoughts on just playing another guy but making it more enjoyable?
Well, I think for the purposes of Star Wars Battlefront, just playing a foot soldier, because it's ultimately just a multiplayer shooter, I think it works quite well, but that doesn't necessarily translate very well into like an RPG kind of thing. And Diarmid raised Knights of the Old Republic earlier there, and that was absolutely one of my, and still to this day, one of my all-time favourite expanded universe Star Wars games. The writing and the characters in that game are utterly brilliant, whereas I don't, maybe if they could have done it with a standard foot soldier, a very interesting narrative, but ultimately for a multiplayer shooter to bring in some kind of narrative kind of story arc to it, obviously they felt it was too challenging, and so they just kind of dropped it off entirely. But those epic battles that you get in the matches, filled with those kind of movie moments, and just being a foot soldier in the midst of all of this chaos, the AT-ATs stomping over your head, that you look up in the sky, you see X-Wings and TIE Fighters kind of swooping past and whooshing right past you, and things blowing up all around you, and being a foot soldier in that kind of context works really, really quite well. Whereas another kind of genre, whereas an RPG, I think they'd have to, well, the writing would have to be exceptional to make a foot soldier a really appealing kind of character, to give him that kind of, give him those kind of hero moments to work in a narrative context.
Yeah, that's a I totally agree with you on that front. I mean, whenever I pick up and start playing through Battlefront, I don't want to feel like I am the one that is pulling the team along. I want to feel like I am just as good as everyone else.
Yes.
And I have equal chance of being able to pick up these vehicles and pick up these hero icons. And it's good, it's balanced. It's the fact that it's fair. But speaking of fair, I also play quite a lot of Call of Duty. And the fact that it's fair also meant that it's very accessible.
Yep.
And I don't at first feel that it was very skill based. Now, I'm not putting it down, I'm just saying it's with something like Call of Duty, I know that I will be, you know, penalized for my mistakes if I pop my head out of cover.
Yeah.
And I get sniped just because of a skill level someone was better than me in this game. Whereas with Battlefront, the emphasis on all of the weapons being all blasters, and some of them fire faster, some of them do more damage, but it's more or less the same kind of weapon. And I've been taken out by pistols from like halfway across the map before. It's very unlucky for that, but it felt like if someone can do that to you with a pistol, then anyone else could kind of, you could do the same thing back to them, and it's kind of balanced and fair on that aspect. And I did have a hard time getting into the fact, you know, untraining myself that it isn't about trying to sneak up behind someone, it's just playing the team game. And it is more or less, Battlefront is that team player's game that you have to work together. Ross, you've introduced me to Fire Squadron. If you want to kind of talk to us about your experience with just the game, and you know, touch upon the Fire Squadron, why that, you know, those modes kind of work. Let's walk through it.
Well, going from kind of your background, which was the Call of Duty kind of fan base, I was absolutely the opposite. I've never had the reflexes to be competitive in a Call of Duty game, and even to a point, Battlefield games, those kind of military shooters, they're almost a little bit kind of too hardcore for me. Whereas I got my hands on the beta for Star Wars Battlefront, and I immediately had an absolute ton of fun, and that's ultimately what it came down to for me. Yes, there's always going to be the kind of the hardcore shooters like the Call of Duties, like the Battlefields, but this one was, I didn't care if I was getting a fantastic kill to death ratio. I was just having so much fun. It didn't bother me that I was finishing bottom of the table all the time. It was all about pure fun, pure nostalgia, and a Star Wars trip. And a lot of that comes down to kind of the balancing. You know, the lasers don't have, sorry, the blasters don't have a recoil. You know, you're not unlocking things that give you an advantage over other players. You're all basically on a level playing field. And the introduction of bots, similar to games like Titanfall, even if you're shooting bots, it feels immediately kind of satisfying. And it's not until the match finishes that you realize that they weren't actually other players. And ultimately, it doesn't matter, because it was just so much fun. And Fighter Squadron, that is an absolute, again, I mean, the whole thing has been a nostalgia trip. So if I'm going on about this, it's because I fell in love with the game entirely just because of that. And Fighter Squadron brought me right back to playing Rogue Squadron on the N64. And I was just, you know, loving bombing around the skies above Hoth, above Tatooine, and obviously the introduction of Sallust, which was a new map for this game. But it was just excellent dogfighting and so much fun. It's not a case of, as soon as you spawn into the match, you're basically going to die almost straight away if you're against a player who's really, really good or been playing it for, you know, hundreds of hours. Any player can not play this for a few weeks, even a couple of months, and then immediately drop back into the game and still be competitive and have an absolute blast playing it. And for me, that's been the biggest clincher, and why it's, to this day, it's easily the best, most fun shooter that I've played online and I keep going back to. And I usually don't have that kind of long-term relationship with online shooters just because they're so fiercely competitive, but with Battlefront, it's just been a joy to play.
Yeah, I think the most important thing you said there was it was fun, and definitely the fact that there is AI in the Fire Squadron thing. Yes, it feels like you are fighting another human, but at the same time, like you said, it felt like it was just, you know, it was all around fun. And I guess the difference between Titanfall, when you're taking out another bit of cannon fodder, it feels, yeah, and it's building up for a kill streak, but it kind of diminishes the fact that you've not tried as hard to take them out. But with Fire Squadron, I would agree with the AI putting up quite a fight on that front. So, Dermot, yes, you introduced me more or less to Star Wars. I saw it at E3, and I was like, yeah, it's EA's game that they're going to keep wowing us with it, and you showed me the beta, and then you gifted me the game, just, you know, someone else to play with. Would you say that Star Wars, would you enjoy it? Have you enjoyed it by playing it with someone else that you know? Or is it a game that you jump into it online by yourself and probably not get that same experience?
Well, I think what we've been talking about so far is how accessible it is. And I think that's a design decision from the very start. From the top to bottom, EA, DICE, they came up with a game plan when they started out developing this, saying this has to be accessible to everybody. The cynical view is that's because we want to sell it to everybody, and based on the numbers they've sold, that obviously was the case as well. But from the fans' point of view, they wanted everyone to play this, whether they were hardcore players of other multiplayer shooters or whether they were anything else. They just wanted people to play this game as much as possible. And it didn't really matter where you came from. When you joined this game, as you've already pointed out, it's fair. Everybody can jump in. Everybody can make the best of the game as they see fit. But I think that was a masterstroke in terms of design, because as we've said, it makes it fun, first and foremost. It makes it really enjoyable to play from start to finish. You can be playing with a friend, and it can be just as fun as if you were playing on your own, because you're getting a fun experience that doesn't task you too much. It allows you to play it at your pace, but at the same time, you still get all of that Star Wars nostalgia back. You get the music, you get the visuals, and you get that sense of place that I don't think any game last year has quite gotten as well. Like, in terms of art design and visuals and all that, I think Battlefront is one of the most beautiful and kind of authentic games, because they're working off of a basis, an idea of what we're looking at, but they were able to replicate it so well that it was just fantastic.
Cool. Ross, let's go into the actual crux of the game. Let's do some spoilers now for Battlefront. Let's talk about kind of your favorite kind of loadouts and weapons, but what would you go into an average game? We'll talk about actual game modes in a bit.
Okay, so hands that I tend to pick are I really like the Ion Torpedo as one of my go-to kind of weapons for game modes like Supremacy, where you've got vehicles in the larger maps and even gun emplacements. If the enemy goes into a gun emplacement or there's an AT-ST stomping around the map, the Ion Torpedo is honestly, it's a priceless weapon because it absolutely moors their health no end, and it's fantastic at helping to take them down. Another hand is the other card in that hand is a impact grenade, because they're just brilliant. Thermal detonators have a larger kind of blast radius, but because of that delay, you got to really kind of pick your moments for and plan ahead for launching them into a group of enemies. Whereas an impact grenade, most of the time, and these kind of skirmish kind of battles as well, you round a corner, there's maybe two or three enemies standing in front of you, and it's almost a reflex, you flip the grenade, and the impact grenade is dead handy, because as soon as it lands at their feet or even hits them, it's an immediate explosion. So that's a lot of fun as well. And then those ragdoll physics just come to the fore, and it's a glorious sight to see with the sparks flying and everything. My second hand is usually a cooldown for blaster fire, which is really good if you're in a heated exchange of blaster fire. And I don't tend to ever pick the jetpack. I think that's something that can be completely abused to get onto sneaky parts of the map, and it's not actually that much use other than to kind of cheat to a degree. I like my grenades, so I usually do thermal and impact grenades for one hand, as well as the cooldown, and then the other hand is an ion torpedo and impact grenade.
Okay, that's a good analogy of why it could be the jetpack could be not seen as great. I must be honest, I have the jetpack in my primary.
You're one of those players,
mostly because, well, only because. Don't get me wrong, I'm not doing it to be cheap. I'm doing it because it's my only way out of a hero taking me out in one slice. Like, literally, Vader coming up to me and me trying to throw a grenade that's not going to kill him instantly, I have more of a chance of escaping if I just hit that jetpack and, you know, get to a place that he can't jump up to, because I see him do force jump all the way up top of a mountain. But, yeah, that's the reason why I carry my my jetpack in my primary hand. But I also have the sniper. Now, that's another reason why I have the jetpack, because the sniper isn't as a default weapon, which I think is really smart, because you have in your average other shooter, you have your submachine guns, you have your normal rifles, you have your shotguns, and you have also your sniper rifle. And having a sniper rifle as something that has a cooldown, and you can probably fire it once every, let's say, 30 seconds, I can't remember the top of my head, is a kind of cool mechanic to have, because, you know, like I was saying earlier, I've been taken out by people with pistols halfway across the map, and being able to you know, take someone out with a sniper and not being able to be cheap with it and keep firing a barrage of sniper and attacks with one hit kills. It's a cool thing to have. So mixing that up with a jetpack, you know, getting to a vantage point, take someone out. Yes, they can. It might be a bit cheap, but it's a tactic that kind of separates me from dying consistently to being able to. It is. I'm not. It's a bit campy, but at the same time, the enemy can see where you've just killed them. So if they're not going to move and, you know, take you out from seeing where you came from, then it's fine. But that's my generic kind of loadout. And I'm a big fan of the impact grenades as well. I mean, not having to bounce and hitting someone instantly does change the game dramatically for me. Dermot, what's in your average hand?
When I bought the game, I got it digitally, and I got the digital special edition. I can't remember what the name of it is, but because of that, it came with ion torpedo unlocked from the start, so I was rocking that from the start, and since then I've just kind of kept it for a while. I also got the ion grenade, and that wasn't really useful, because that was the one that disrupts like vehicles and stuff, and usually I could never get close enough to an ATST to actually use it because I get picked off so easily. So I ended up going with the thermal grenade for a lot of it as well. I didn't really use the hands all that much. Like, the only time I ever used most of the other... I kind of got used to playing in that with that hand, so I just kind of stuck with it. But the only time I ever used anything different was when me and you were playing together in a party, and I could use your hand, and I was just using the jetpack every so often.
Yeah.
And unlike you, I never really found it useful, because by the time I decided to use it, I was already so low on health that all they had to do was fart in my general direction and I'd be dead.
But it gives you much more of a chance of not getting farted on.
It never worked.
If you're in a generic, wide, open area and you use a jetpack, then you're going to land somewhere just as open. But it could also be the reason between you getting to safety or you getting somewhere, you know,
an advantage point. Worse.
Prevailing winds will catch up with you.
No, it's fine. So we're going to go into the actual game modes now. So I'm going to start with you, Ross, being the super fan on this episode. What would you say the game mode that excites you the most? I have a feeling it's probably going to be.
Yeah, you can probably guess.
But if you can, yeah. But if other than Fire Squadron, give me some reasons why. But other than Fire Squadron, what other modes out there? Kind of pique your interest and you would go to it if that mode did not exist.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that's really kind of interesting and unexpected about Battlefront is I wasn't expecting Fighter Squadron to be as much fun as it is, so I'm really happy that that's the case. Supremacy is the go-to, for me anyway, my go-to kind of like big team battle where you it's not Walker Assault. I'm not that big a fan of Walker Assault, to be fair. Supremacy is my preferred game mode where everything's happening on screen. You've got all the vehicles, you've got to hold these different kind of choke points, and it's just chaos and spectacle all in one without obviously without the ATATs going across the map, but Supremacy is brilliant. But also some of the smaller game modes that I wasn't expecting to be as much fun as what they are. So drop pods, I think it is really good fun, and that can be quite intense as well. And also droid run is it can be really tense as well, where you've got to kind of guard and then kind of protect a droid kind of walking across the map, and I think there's three droids or something, and so they can be quite heated exchanges and actually really, really good fun. And a throwaway game mode which is kind of like a guilty pleasure is probably the heroes versus villains. It's great fun just to kind of see Luke Skywalker going against Darth Vader, or the Emperor going against, Han Solo and Princess Leia, and it's just a lot of fun. When you get spawned in as one of the little troopers as a supporting character, it's obviously not much fun because you can't really do anything to the hero characters. But the next round, you're almost guaranteed to always be a hero character, and it's just a bit of kind of silly madness, and it's all good fun. So I think they're my kind of my favorite game modes.
Excellent. I'm gonna jump in and say, yeah, heroes versus villains is pretty awesome, especially when if you haven't been able to have a hero villain in that round, but you do really well, you get to have one of those higher classed generic kind of kind of characters. What? There's a name for them.
So if you're on the villains team, you get to spawn in as a shock trooper for the Emperor.
Yes, yes.
Whereas if Princess Leia's on the Rebel side, you get to go, I think it's a Republic Guard or Royal
it
Guard
is.
Or something like that.
And you take control of the third person mode, and you've got the rocket, and you've got another. It's really cool. It's really balanced, and it's fair.
It's but the guys with those dapper waistcoats, right?
It is, nice. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of Hero Hunt, though. I just love the fact that you can have a cat and mouse game within Star Wars, and I wouldn't say it's equal, as in it's fair for everyone having a chance. I mean, you have to take out the hero to be able to have a chance to be able to play as one. But I've had some really interesting matches, and it made my love for Boba Fett for this game come out. Is because he's got I'm going to talk about jetpacks again. But it's the fact that he has a jetpack, he's got a rocket, and as well as a flamethrower. And I've seen some really crazy matches of people chasing down this guy on a jetpack and going through all sorts of areas. And it just makes a cat and mouse game, you know, take it up a notch a bit. So it's the fact that you have the camaraderie of having your other teammates who are maybe friends of yours or not, just people on the internet, that you know, pairing up and trying to take down one foe. And that's pretty beautiful. We don't really get a lot of that in online games. You know, everyone versus one. And that's really cool, and I enjoy that quite a bit, other than supremacy, you know.
I think the reason you get that kind of camaraderie is because of the fact that you don't have those players who can be superpowered, who can be, like, really skillful at the game. Because it's such a level playing field, in order to get ahead, you really do have to play together. So it kind of forces that, and I like that. And I like the fact that, like, you were talking about game modes. For me, the default one for me is Blast, probably, because it's the most... It's the generic team deathmatch kind of game. But I like the fact that as you're playing the game, when you get kind of sick of that mode and you kind of go, I want to try something else, there is such a variety of stuff that you can do. There's the fighter squadron. Yeah. There's all of the stuff we've already talked about. And it's nice to just jump into a mode for one or two matches and just have a let off a bit of steam that you might have built up in a different kind of match. And they play so differently, and there's such a different focus on what you need to do. It just makes it a fresh experience every time you come back.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the last question I'm going to throw out to you guys is favorite moments. Now, we could have talked about anything, but it must be something specific to you that made you be like, do you know what? This game is awesome. So, starting with you, Ross, do you have any specific moments that you remember playing through, other than with playing for myself, because that was an awesome time, I would guess. You can't talk about playing with me. But any times that you've ever played and you're like, yeah, this is a great game.
That's just it. I mean, every single moment in this game is filled with those, oh my God, did you see what just happened there? And that's a real kind of praise to what DICE have done with the game engine, and obviously with the kind of the presentation of everything. Whether it's Fighter Squadron, where if you chase down a TIE fighter and a few blasts and you clip his wing and they spiral out of control, and then they explode into a haze of sparks and kind of debris. It's right out of the movies with the audio effects and everything. To matches like the Walker Assault and Supremacy, where you're on the ground and you're looking up at the chaos that's ensuing in the skies, and a TIE fighter or an X-Wing crashes down right in front of you, or it does a bombing run swooping down past you, or you look across the map and then there's these pockets of skirmishes all kind of going on. It's just filled with those kind of moments, and that's the great thing about it. They're not few and far between. Basically every single match or game mode that you can jump into is kind of littered with these kind of things all going on, and it's a real testament to how much fun that this game is.
Excellent. Diarmaid, any specific standout moments that you had whilst playing it?
Honestly, the very first time I did, I decided to stream it because, I'd gotten it on the day of release, so I was like, I'm sure someone will watch this. I don't think anyone did. And seeing as the archive is now gone, I can say that I was awesome. I wasn't terrible, I was awesome.
Where's the proof when we need it?
Disappeared into the ether. But I remember playing it, and I jumped on to a party with a few people from the Big Red Barrel community, and a few people from the staff of Big Red Barrel as well, which I'm on. And we were all playing, there was about six or seven of us playing it at the one time, and it was so much fun. And no one needed a kind of a leg up, no one was kind of left behind. It was always a case of, everyone was able to play at a level already. Even the people who were really good at Call of Duty or really good at Battlefield, they were able to jump in, and even though like it was kind of leveled out, everyone was playing and kind of having fun. It wasn't like, I'm dead again. Actually, it was that, but that was a different issue. But for me, I just had so much fun, and I remember I was kind of laughing, I was shouting. I would not have done that for a game that wasn't good, and that was the one that kind of, that first day kind of sold me on, this is a lot of fun, let's keep playing this, and I have done. But I think the moment isn't one of mine. The moment that has sold so many people at work, when I kind of say, or when they say, oh, I'm a Star Wars fan, and I find out that they have a PlayStation or an Xbox or something, I said, have you thought about Battlefield? And they're like, no, is it good? I show them that one famous GIF of, I think it's Luke Star Wars gameplay, where I think he's on Hoth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where he just force pushes a stormtrooper into the air, which then hits a TIE fighter, which crashes into the ground. I just have to show them that, and they're sold. And that happens all the time. Well, that particular thing doesn't happen, but you've moments like that because of how authentic it is. You've moments like that that just bring back all the awesomeness, and you're just like, yeah, that's excellent.
Speaking of gifts, I take it you've both seen the one where I think it's Darth Vader or Luke. I think it's Luke. He's trying to take someone out on Hoth, and he's coming closer and closer to the camera. And he gets crushed by an AT-AT.
Yeah.
A slow walking AT-AT. Bettered. A Jedi Knight. It's quite crazy. You can't write this stuff. No. I'll tell you, one of my standout moments was when the Battle of Jakku pack came out, and I was playing on Turning Point. I remember it being very, very, very hectic, and a lot of people dying. And I found one little cubby hole in between, like the back of an AT-AT's leg, where no one seemed to be attacking, and I was able to kind of. Yeah, it's going to probably expose, but I was camping quite a bit there. And the fact that no one...
Cheater!
Yeah, it's fine. It's Star Wars Battlefront.
Did you have the marshmallows out and, you know, roast them for you?
Yeah, there was... I was cooking up a storm of these marshmallows. I was asking anyone for s'mores. But it's the fact that I was able to find a little oasis in the middle of a heated area and kind of try and have people kind of spawn in off from the local area. And Turning Point is a crazy game mode, and... If you don't play it right, you gotta work in a team. It's one of those forced ones where you can't just join in and go crazy. You need to kind of push and dominate these areas. And the fact that I was able to kind of stay alive longer than a couple of minutes was quite a feat. And being able to kind of, you know, have a line... We stood the line there, even though I kind of wasn't able to take out a few people because I was in a little spot. But I was able to kind of appreciate the fact that above us... In Jakku, there was a war going on, and it was just before the film came out, so I was really able to appreciate what, you know, the reason that map was created for, and it was just to kind of set the standard that yes, this is a real war that's happening, and this is a real planet. Obviously, it's not a real thing, because you know what I mean. My mind is there, but yeah. So just to, I know we wanted to end on that point, but just to kind of wrap things up, what was your favorite hero? Ross,
I've got to say Princess Leia. She's utterly fantastic. She's really, really good. She's a great support character, and she can distribute health for either herself or the other hero characters in her team. If it's a game mode like Heroes versus Villains, she can deploy shields, and she's just unexpected. I was expecting to be something like Han Solo or Luke Skywalker to be my favorite, but. Unexpectedly, Princess Leia is a rather awesome character to play as.
Yeah, shields and health is very important if you are playing a support thing, especially the shields. I mean, yeah, not much can penetrate that unless you're going to run into it literally. So, favorite hero?
Luke. I've wanted to play as a Jedi. I got to play as a Jedi. I'm sorted.
Okay. Anything in particular that you enjoyed from?
No, I just like the fact that they've successfully represented those characters in the game, and specifically Luke. I just liked the fact that I was able to run around. It felt OP because it was OP. It was just awesome. I just loved the experience. I loved being able to force push things. The lightsaber was just awesome. Everything about it, they just did it well. If they do make another one, which I'm sure they will, I just hope they keep refining that gameplay, because it still needs a bit of work. There's still some jankiness about it, but it was fun, so I enjoyed it.
Okay, you can probably guess what mine is. I do love Boba Fett because of Jetpack. So that wraps up the end of it. No, I'm joking. I still haven't actually had a chance to play with Palpatine, Mr. AKA Floating Old Man. So I probably need to try and get a go on that. But no, Boba Fett, just, in the maps where there's a lot of verticality, it makes sense just to be able to get up there quicker than some others. And he's got a flamethrower. You can't argue with a flamethrower. So, yeah, try and block flames with your lightsaber, Luke. Yeah. So this kind of wraps up what we were going to... I think we've run over a bit. It just happens to be Star Wars. I think we've done that with every Star Wars kind of bit of content for this show. But, Ross, how can anyone find you on social media? And do you want to plug anything in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody wants to kind of join the discussion and a general love of video games, then they can join our Facebook group, which is called Gamer Tagged. Or they can follow us on Twitter at GTagged. So be sure to kind of tap us up for a discussion or friend requests, anything like that, and maybe, you know, join the group.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on, Ross.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers, Ross. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please email us at spoilsportspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Sean is at Sean Labode, and I'm at Dermid_S. If you liked what you heard, click on the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
And I do love Hero, and even though I've never really had a chance to be consistently the hero, I just love the
camaraderie.
Camaraderie. Is that camaraderie?
Close enough.
Camaraderie. All right, I'll jump in again. So the fact that we can have the camaraderie, I'd need to learn how to say this word. Let's try it again. How many syllables in this word?
I have to put this as an outtake. Just be aware.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course. Camaraderie.
Just say friends.